Eternal Rock of Ages, we appreciate you. We bless your holy name for another beautiful and wonderful day which you have made. Father, we appreciate you, Lord. We give you thanks. We give you glory. We ask that you accept our thanksgiving this morning in Jesus' name. We bless your holy name for the opportunity to be here this morning. Lord, we appreciate you, Lord. Father, even as we are about to go into your word this morning, we pray that the Holy Spirit, which is the great interpreter, will interpret every of your word to us in Jesus' name. Lord, we are tired of just hearing your word. That's why this morning we have come into the throne of grace to receive grace and mercy so that we'll be doers of the word in Jesus' name. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. This morning, we are going to be looking at the word of God as the truth. So, in our bulletin, we look at it. It says, what is the truth? Who can say one or two things about it? What is the truth? We are all Bible students here this morning. What is the truth? I want somebody to define it. If nobody is going to want to do it, I'll call upon two or three. What is the truth? My brother, I think you want to say something. What is the truth? Praise the Lord. That's a good one. Praise the Lord. The truth, we are still talking about the truth. What is the truth? Sister Rachel. Well, yeah, what is truth? Yeah. Praise the Lord. What is truth? I think the truth is the word of God. This is it. This is the truth. The Bible is the truth. Because there's nothing that we are looking for that is not in this book. This is a very complete book. Is it how to be a godly woman? Is it how to be a godly man? Is it how to walk in holiness? Is it how to bring up our children? Is it? There's nothing that we are looking for that is not in this world. It's a very complete book. Praise the Lord. Yeah.
Mm.
just to add to what you have said, you know, I work with elderly people, and I've met quite a number of them that they will just tell me that their situation is hopeless, that even medically, there's nothing they can do about it. So when I just listen to them, some of them who believe in God, the first thing I ask is, do you really believe in God? And I said, there's somebody who can do it. There's nothing that the person cannot do. And I just try to tell them that God can do it, that there's nothing is impossible for him to do. So that is what the word of God is, you know. That is the truth. And if you look at our manual, it says that, you know, that only one thing has the ability to remain true in all situations and circumstances, and that is God. Let's open our Bibles to Numbers 23:19. Praise the Lord. As we can see, we say God never change. God can never change. When he says he's going to do something, he's going to do it. You know, he's not like most of us, even parents. Sometimes when we say we are going to do something for our kids, sometimes we change. God can never change. He's very trustworthy. You know, we can change our mind anytime. When we want to do something and it's not when we even have we want to do things genuinely and we look back, it's not convenient for us. We can change. But the word of God, which is the truth, is saying that God cannot change and he will never change. Praise the Lord. So let's look at Hebrews 6, 16 to 19.
An end of all strife, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled from refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. To 18.
Praise the Lord. This buttresses our understanding that, you know, God is trustworthy, he's faithful, that he cannot change, he cannot lie. Whatever he says concerning each and every one of us, it is our responsibility to watch over it for him to perform it. If God says we are not a failure, God says we are head, not tail. So we have responsibility, because if we don't even know what belongs to us, if we don't even know what God says concerning us, so how can we boldly get up and take our responsibility and do it? But in God's own case, he is not going to change. Whatever he says concerning us, he's going to bring it to pass, and he's going to do it. Praise the Lord. If we look at the other part, you say, why do we need to know the truth? Why do we need to know the truth? In our manual here, it says, if we know the truth, it offers many advantages, and it includes being able to know your rights, obligation, and responsibility, and walk free when there's no reason for you to be hindered. Yes? If we know the truth, we know what rightly belongs to us. We know how to get what is ours. You know, sometimes, you know, the devil put us in bondage, and because we don't know the truth, so we think that is the way God, that is meant for us. No, if we don't know the truth, we'll not be able to fight even for our rights. We'll not be able to know, we'll not be able to pray even if we don't know the truth, because we won't even know what to pray for. So let's look at the book of John 8:31-32. I want all of us to be there, because it's a very important verse.
If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
Praise the Lord. Jesus is saying to those who believe in him, say, if you abide in my word, you are my disciple. You know, the if here is very loaded. It means we have a choice. If you abide in my word, you know, you are my disciple. You know, when we are his disciple, what then will happen to us? We do what he says. We know the truth. It is then that we know the truth, and the truth will make us free. You know, but if we don't abide in him, if we choose the other way around, that, oh, I'm going to do it in my own way, I'm not going to do what the Bible says, then it means we are not abiding in him, then we cannot be his disciple. You know, if anything does not line up with the word of God, then it is not the truth. You know, it is the truth that will make us, you know, that will set us free. And if we know the truth, if we are his, we be his disciple, we do what he says, and we, the truth there will set us free. Most of the time, we just quote the last one, that we shall know the truth, and the truth will set us free. We have to first of all abide in him. That is why the if there is very loaded. If we look at it, if we abide in him, then we are his disciple. But if we don't, you know, everything in life, we have a choice of doing it or not to do it. Even in the Bible times, you know, people in the Bible days, they have choice. Just like me and you, we have choices to make in life, to either to follow God or not. Praise the Lord. We are going to look at this very popular Bible passage. You know, the prodigal son in the Bible. So let's look at Luke 15. Let's look at Luke 15. 11 to,
And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that followed to me, and divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the young son gathered all together and took his journey to a far country. There wasted his substance with riotous life, and when he had spent all there, arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to want, and he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his field to feed the swine, and he would fain having filled his belly with husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's house have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father. I will say unto my father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he rose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to the father, I have sinned against the heaven and in thy sight, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said unto the servant, bring forth the best robe, put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoe on his feet, and bring it thither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field. As he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the seven, asked what this thing meant, and said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father killed the fatted calf, because he had received him safe and sound. And he was angry, and would not go in. Therefore came his father and entreated him. And he answered and said his father, lo, this many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. Yet thou never gave me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as thy son was come, which had devoured the living with allot, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, all that I have is thine. it was meant that he would make Mary be glad, for thy brother was dead, is alive again, was lost, and is found.
Praise the Lord. Most of us, sometimes we are like the prodigal son, you know. If we look at verse 18, it says, I will arise. 17, when he came to himself, he realized that he has drifted away. Then he arise, you know. It's still about choice making, just like I've said before, that we need to make a choice. You know, he can just choose to continue the way he was going, but he decided to make a choice to come back home. To come back home to the parents. And those of us that are Christian, you know, sometimes we just live the life, the way we live our life, the way we want to live it. And, you know, it is about grace. You know, sometimes we will not even have the opportunity to come back again. We will not have the opportunity to make the choice right again. That is why the Bible says, where we have read, John 8, we have read that we have a choice to make. It says, if you are my disciple, the if there is loaded, just like the prodigal son made choice to go back home, to retrace his step. The same thing happened to us each time, you know. And I always tell people that we should not be the type of Christian who keep repenting every day. That we should be the type of Christian who is firm, know what we are doing. It's not every time that we are in the presence of God that we first of all use the next how many hours or minutes to repent. We should stand firm, and God will help us in Jesus' name. And the word of God will be truth in our life in Jesus' name. Let's look at Mark 11.
For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which are said come to pass, they shall have whatsoever is said. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them.
Praise the Lord. It's telling us the bottom line of where we have read here, it's telling us that the word we speak carries power. That once we say it, you know, it becomes the truth. It carries power, and it will be established. You know, once we say it, and we still have responsibility there. Let's go back to the if again. We have to believe what we say, not just saying it. You know, we have to believe it. We have to stop living in fear and doubt and say, oh, is it possible? No, don't look at the impossibility. Just look at the possibility. We have to believe it. So we still have responsibility there. Believe what you say. It's because already once you've said it, it carries power. That is what Jesus is telling us here. The parable is all about. You know, when you say something, believe it. You know, when the devil tried to put us in bondage, we should stand upon the word of God. That is why it's very important for us to know the truth, which is the word of God. It's because it's only the truth that can set us free. Because if we look at some of our circumstances around us, if we look at things, they look impossible. But with God, it is very possible. And if we go back to the word of God, it's very possible, because we have to hold on to what the word says. You know, if we look back to our bulletin, it says, do you know that God, your father, owns the cattle upon a thousand hills? Do you know that healing is the children's bread? Yes. Sometimes the devil wants to toy with our healing. We should tell the devil, when we said we should believe, we tell the devil to hands off. Because the Bible says that our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, that the devil cannot have a dwelling place there. So that is it. You know, do you know the word you speak carry power and that can make things happen? That's where we have read. You know, when we speak, that's why sometimes it's not good for us to be negative. I always tell people not to be negative, just be positive. I tell my children, I say, if you don't have anything positive to say, it's better you don't say anything. We don't speak words of discouragement into people's life. We try to be possible as much as possible to give words of encouragement. It says the truth is the sanctifier. We all know John 17:17. We all know. Do we all know it? If we know it, let's read it together. So the word of God, the truth in the word of God, we sanctify us. When we know the truth, it is then that we begin to look at ourselves the way God is seeing us. It is then that we'll be able to make a choice. Oh, because I'm a child of God, I know the truth. I can't do this. Because I'm a child of God, I know this is what the Bible says, and I'm not going to do anything that is opposite. will be able to live a holy life. Because just like the Bible said, that without holiness, no one can see God. You know, we have to, some people will say, oh, is it possible that we are walking towards perfection? If God knows that it's not possible for us to live a holy life, he will not ask us to do it. Praise the Lord. And God will help us in Jesus' name. Then if you look at John 4:23.
Shall worship the Father in the spirit and in truth.
Mm-hmm.
For the Father seeketh such to worship him.
Praise the Lord. You know, if God is going to accept our worship, it has to be genuine. We have to worship him in truth. And the truth is the word of God. You know, God is seeking those who will worship him in truth and in genuineness. We have to be genuine. It's not the type of we'll be doing when somebody is there, even when we are by ourselves. We have to still stand on the truth, which is the word of God. The Bible said that we should be zealous in good things only, not only when he is present with us. That even when at place of work, where nobody even knows us as Christian, we should still stand and be zealous in good things. He said, not only when he is present with us. That is Galatians 8:4. Praise the Lord. So we move. We say, why? How do I find out what is truth? Yeah. Find out the truth by keeping company with the one that knows the truth. That is the Holy Spirit, and he will guide you to all truth. Have the truth repeated to you over and over again so that you can keep it in remembrance. You know, the way we can find out about the truth is every one of us, we are here this morning because we love God and we want to find out about truth. If you look at Romans 10:17, it says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So if we don't hear the word of God, we won't be able to know the truth. You know, if we don't find out by ourselves, how do we know it? If we look at Joshua 1:8, it said, study. You know, he said this book that should not depart from you day and night, that we should meditate. That's why I tell people in our house fellowship that apart from the family prayer, the prayer we do in the morning, that we still need time to separate ourselves. Because the Bible says every man will give account. The Bible did not say every church. The Bible did not say every family. I told the ladies there that despite the fact that we run a very tight schedule, that we can still separate like 30 minutes in a day and just take one verse, simple one, and just look at it and ask the Holy Spirit to interpret to us. Let's look at Acts 17. It's a very popular one that I think we should all go there this morning. We're talking about the Berean Christian. Acts 17:11-12. It's very important that we remind ourselves.
And those in Thessalonica.
Mm.
In that day they received the word with all readiness of mm-hmm. the mind
mm-hmm.
and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. Therefore many of them believed, also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men not a few.
Praise the Lord. Look at the Christian, the Berean Christian here. After they come to the church like me and you are here this morning. Yeah, you know, they go back home again. I guess during their own period, they run a very tight schedule. They will go back home and study. Instead of us criticizing the preacher, why can't we go back and study? Look at what he said. There are very lot of simpler versions of the Bible that one can read, and the good news is very good for a young believer. You know, you understand it very well. Go back and read it and see yourself, the truth in the word of God. You don't leave it to anybody, because everybody is going to stand. Just like I said, I will stand alone. I'm not going to stand with my husband. He's going to stand alone. I'm not going to stand with my children. So that is why it is very important for us to go back and check, instead of criticizing people. Check ourselves and see what the word says, and God will help us in Jesus' name. As from today, God will give us the wisdom and will give us the grace to separate time to study the word in Jesus' name. It says, what should be our attitude to the truth? Basically, it's saying, what should be our attitude to the word of God? Number one, it says we should be committed to find out the truth. Yes, that's John 5:39. Can we quickly go there? John 5:39. Still talking about searching the scripture, that we need to separate time to do our own Bible study.
For in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they had they which testify of men.
Praise the Lord. To cite the scripture, you know, even if we know that we in the morning we are not early, we can't wake up early. If we wake up early to cite the scripture that we are going to do so, why don't you do it in the midday when you are awake? Or what I do when I'm feeling lazy, just go to the shower. By the time you run few drops of water down, then you'll be awake. Then you sit down, whatever time that convenient for you. Sometimes I put off my phone. I told the people in my house fellowship last week, I say every time that the Holy Spirit asked me to put off my phone, and I did not put it off. Somebody will call, and I will say something that I'm not supposed to say. I say, I've mastered it, and I've known it. And any time I'm by myself, and the Holy Spirit just say, why don't you put off your phone and pray? I always do it. I share with them, I said about, is it not last week, Tuesday, I was driving my car, and I just have the burden to pray for my eldest daughter. Then I started praying. And I say, and I'm just telling them that we should be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, and we do what He says, and God will help us. Ours is just to start, believe. And we see that it's very easy, and we'll be able to do it. Once we just cultivate the habit of doing it, God will make it possible for us in Jesus' name. It says, so receiving the truth, though initially is unpalatable and turned down falsehood, yes, see the word of God as your final authority, no matter how appealing alternative explanation may seem to you. Yeah, we have to see the word of God. No matter if we see what the word of God says, we have to believe it, no matter how good the other options might be. You know, the other options might be, maybe we should lie, maybe we should cheat, or maybe we should, you know, how we doctor papers. It may look good at that present time, but at the end of it, what will happen? I told them how somebody in Nigeria, that there's this man who gave a testimony that, you know, that they gave them bribe. Then he was a pastor then. Then he took the envelope. He said as soon as he took the envelope, the Holy Spirit just said to him, what have you done? He immediately covered up. He said, oh, I'm going to put it in the offering bag in the church tomorrow. The Holy Spirit told him again, I don't need your money. He said, oh, how can I take this money back? Then he said he doesn't have peace until he started praying that God should bring this man back to the office so that he'll be able to bring the envelope back. Then he said again, this man is a very rich, mighty man. How will I approach him again with his envelope? Then you know what this man did? He just took the bold step, and you know what? God is so faithful. The man came back to the office and he handed the envelope back. Then he got his peace back. Praise the Lord. So ours is just to do what the word of God says, and God will help us in Jesus' name. He said we should publish the truth, because there are two ways to say yes. You either speak it out or keep it silent. And there is only one way to say no. That is by speaking out. You know, if we don't see anything, when we see people that are doing something wrong and we keep quiet, it means we are part of it. But when we speak out, we tell them what they have done is not good. Yes, sometimes it may not look palatable, but you know, we have done our own, because the Bible says that we are the light. You know, wherever we are, that, you know, we can't stand sin, we can't stand darkness, we can't stand anything that is not the truth, anything that is contrary to the will of God. As a child of God, when you are there, you will not be comfortable, and God will help us in Jesus' name. Say, what if I choose not to follow the truth? Well, that is dangerous. If we choose not to follow the truth, it's very dangerous. As Christians, we all know, you know, because the Bible says that we shall know the truth, and the truth will set us free. So if we choose not to follow the truth, then it means we'll be in bondage. We'll not be free. So that is what he's saying. Let's look at John 1:5. If you are there before me, you can read.
The message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all.
Praise the Lord. You know, if we don't choose the truth, you know, that, you know, we'll be in darkness. And you know, our blessing here say that we can reap the benefit immediately. But on the long run, you may have to revisit it, you know. The way to falsehood is darkness. But remember that God is light, in him there's no darkness. And if we don't If we choose not to follow the truth, you know, when the word of God is telling us something, let's quickly look at Proverbs, the book of Proverbs 28:14. 28:14.
Happy is the man that feareth always, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief.
Praise the Lord. I want somebody to read this in another version. Proverbs 28:14. Praise the Lord. When God is correcting us, or when, like, we've known the truth and we refuse to do it, some of the other versions say that the person will perish, you know, immediately. So it's very important that we know the truth, and the truth will set us free in Jesus' name. So have any contribution? We are talking about the word of God as the truth. So for those of us that are coming, I'll quickly round it up. We said that we have a choice to make, because the Bible says that if you are my disciple, that is John 5:38. Say, if you are my, it's for us to make the choice. If we are God's disciple, that we know the truth. How can we know the truth? Coming together, studying by ourselves, looking at what God says and do it. And we have to separate time to study, because if we don't study, how will our faith come? And if we don't come together, the Bible says we should not forsake the assembly of each other. So how can we know the truth? And it is only when we know the truth, and the truth is the word of God, because just like we have said before, that the Bible is a complete book, that it has all the... There's nothing we are looking for in the Bible that we can't find. How to be a godly man, woman, how to bring up our kids, whatever you are looking for is in the Bible. So ours is to make the choice of searching the scripture, doing like the Berean Christian, who after they have heard the word of God, they will go back home. Instead of criticizing the preacher, they will go back home and sit down by themselves and search for the truth. Praise the Lord.
I think you have something to say.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Joyful about it. They received it in their tribulation. They received
without God and the Bible. Thomas Jefferson said, "A studious perusal of the sacred volume will make better citizens, better fathers, and better husbands." John Quincy Adams said, "The first and almost the only book deserving of universal attention." Andrew Jackson said, "It is the rock on which our republic rests." Woodrow Wilson, some of these people I don't know, he says, "A man has deprived himself of the best there is in the world who has deprived himself of this in knowledge of the Bible." Herbert Hoover, "There is no other book so various as the Bible, nor one so full of concentrated wisdom." Ulysses S. Grant said, "To the influence of this book we are indebted for the progress made in civilization, and to this we must look as our guide in the future." And this is one of the things I said in the radio program, that one of the things that informed the development in the world we live in is the Bible. But after the development, the benefit of development arrived, people decided that they want to leave the Bible. You can hear what one of the great people said during his own time. John Bacon said, "What can I do with respect to the next world without my Bible?" Another very popular man, many of us will know of him, Napoleon Bonaparte, said, "The Bible is more than a book. It is a living being with an action, a power which invades everything that opposes its extension." And I love that. You want me to read again? Napoleon Bonaparte, he said, "The Bible is more than a book. It is a living being with an action, a power which invades everything that opposes its extension." Alexander Cruden said, "All other books are of little importance in comparison with the Holy Scriptures." Let me read from what 800 scientists of Great Britain recorded. 800 scientists of Great Britain. They jointly wrote this, and I will read to you. We, the undersigned students of natural sciences, desire to express our sincere regret that researchers into scientific truth are perverted by some in our own times into occasions for casting doubt upon the truth and authenticity of the Holy Scriptures. We conceive that it is impossible for the Word of God, written in the book of nature," that's Romans 1, okay? "The Word of God written in the book of nature, and God's Word written in Holy Scripture, to contradict one another. Physical science is not complete, but is only in a condition of progress." Signed by 800 scientists of Great Britain, recorded in the Bodleian Library, Oxford. Lastly, Daniel Webster, and I think is of the Webster Dictionary, "The Bible is the book of faith, and a book of doctrine, and a book of morals, and a book of religion, of special revelation from God, but it is also a book which teaches man his responsibility, his own dignity, his equality with his fellow man." Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. This, can we rise up and pray? We've heard many things about the Word of God as truth. So we are going to thank God for what we have heard this morning. Please open your mouth and appreciate God. Father, bless your holy name. Thank you, Lord, even for water, Father, Lord. Father, God Almighty, Lord, that's you, Lord. That's you, Lord. That's you, Lord. That's you, Lord. Father, God Almighty, Lord. Thank you, Lord, even for what you have, Father, Lord. We appreciate you, Lord. Ask God to make his word truth in your life. Father God Almighty, I ask this morning, O Lord, as the Lord make your God word the truth in my life, O Lord. Father God Almighty, O Lord, Father God Almighty, O Lord. Oh Father, we ask, O Lord, Father, we see, O Lord. Father God Almighty, O Lord, we see, O Lord. Father, see, O Lord, your word is truth. Because the Bible says that we shall know the truth, and we have to know the truth through the word of God, and the truth will set us free. Father, we see, O Lord, thank you, Lord, Father God Almighty, O Lord. Ask God for special grace, for special mercy, so that we'll be able to separate time to study the word and meditate upon it. Because that is the only way we can know the truth. Despite our tight schedule, we should ask God for the grace. Because by ourselves, we cannot do it. We need God to help us. Father God Almighty, in every area, O Lord, Father, even as we have prayed, O Lord, in this, O Lord, Father, we have seen, O Lord, that you, Lord, Father, it's you, Lord, that you share this, O Lord, in Jesus' name, Father, we bless you, Lord, Father, God Almighty, O Lord, see, Lord, Father, we bless you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Our Lord and our God, we appreciate you once again. We thank you for your word that we have had this morning. Father, we begin to receive grace now, even if we don't have before, to set aside time to study your word in Jesus' name. Father, in any area, O Lord, that your word has not been the truth in our lives, O Lord. Father, because of what we have had this morning, we ask, O Lord, that we receive fresh anointing, fresh grace, O Lord, that your word will be truth in our life and in all our situation in Jesus' name. Father, we appreciate you. We thank you, Lord, for in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen.